Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local. Final hour, and sometime in this half hour, we're giving away 5 pair of tickets to see Jimmy J.J. Walker at the Carson Nugget performing tonight, 8 o'clock, so listen close. We just heard on Fox News about our president in Nevada, Las Vegas, darn it. But it is specifically, he is speaking at 12:30, 90 minutes from now, hosting that rally at the Circa Hotel and Casino, very big place in downtown Las Vegas. And I had something to say about that, but I just hope it's a great event, wonderful event. And I tip my hat to him for insisting that he go to North Carolina first, because what happened after Hurricane Helene was in the news for, 2 days? And he's complaining about FEMA not taking care of the poor folks out there in North Carolina, the victims. But it's the media that really has ignored that story, like they did in previous floods and tornadoes throughout the Southeast. I don't know what they have against places like that. Anyway, Super Bowl coming up in 2 weeks. And so I'm in a local sports book, and they made this announcement that Fox has the Super Bowl there, and they're going to stream it. The sports book made an announcement that the sports book itself is going to stream it on Tubi. So I'm going, why do you need to stream the Super Bowl? I mean, it's not like the old days when everybody can get it. But you know what? Now, not everybody can. There's a lot of people who don't get cable, and they don't do antennas, or they can't get the signal. They stream. My wife and I, we channel surf. We do it like, the 1970s. We check the channel guide. But my nephews and their friends, they don't do any of that. They stream and they type in what they want to see and watch. They know what they want to watch, and they find it, and it takes 10 seconds. But you have to have the right streaming service to see it. The Super Bowl is not on Netflix or Hulu, I guess, but at least Super Bowl on Tubi is free because Fox owns Tubi. Will I ever get this straight? All of us. I mean, and this is gambling's biggest event. Which, by the way, there are a couple things I will never understand in this world besides the streaming setups. Microwaves. Don't ask me about microwaves and craps. I can't wrap my brain around what's happening there. There's like these pass signs and people with sticks, and they're yelling, roulette. Yeah, I can pick numbers. Yay. Nice and simple. Media, speaking of media, CNN, Navy veteran Zachary Young successfully sued CNN, saying they smeared him by implying that he illegally profited when helping people flee Afghanistan on the black market during the Biden military withdrawal there in 2021. Young said CNN destroyed his reputation in business by branding him an illicit profiteer who exploited desperate Afghans, as aired on CNN's The Lead with Jake Tapper. Young's legal team revealed CNN internal messages that repeatedly showed staffers expressing hostility toward the Navy veteran. Among the texts and emails from CNN reporters and producers writing each other include many calling Young, and these are all obscenities, a S-bag and an a-hole. Another one said he had a punchable face. Alex Markhart, the CNN reporter who did the story, wrote a colleague, quote, "We're going to nail this Zachary Young MF-er," and said the report was going to be, quote, "your funeral, bucko." referring to Young. Yeah. Listen, I spent 20 years in a local TV newsroom, and this is what they think of people, all right, especially Republicans. CNN, MSDNC, ABC, CBS all belong to the Democratic Party. If you listen close, their talking points are using the same exact quotes and words on each network. That isn't possible between all these networks unless they're taking some marching orders from the same source, you know? Now there's a CBS suit. Here's the news on that. CBS has been sued by Trump for favorably editing the 60 Minutes sit-down with Kamala Harris just before the election. The suit alleges that the network committed election interference by editing portions of the 60 Minutes interview with Harris to eliminate her word salad answer about the Israel-Hamas war. Now, this is interesting. How were they caught? CBS aired one version of the interview on 60 Minutes, and they aired another version on the show Face the Nation, each containing different answers from Harris. Yeah. Say what? Now, wait a minute. She had two different answers to the same question there. How is that? I mean, there were reports that after Kamala's word salad answer, an aide stopped the interview, gave her some notes to memorize, and subsequent answers to the same question were then recorded. Till her aides, you know, were satisfied and found the right one. And then in editing, she comes out like a genius. Must have been a lot of editing. Trump's campaign demanded the network release the transcript of the full taped interview. CBS has said no. CBS said it edited Harris's interview on 60 Minutes for, quote, clarity. It has refused to release a full transcript of the interview. If CBS truly had nothing to hide by releasing the full transcript of the interview, they'd have already done it, and they do it loudly. It's not out of journalistic integrity that they withhold it. It's because they know Trump is right, and because they know that the viewing public is going to lose even more respect for them. If indeed there's any left, Americans no longer trust the national news media to report fully, accurately, and fairly. I was long frustrated at Channel 2, you know, editing the national news stories for the morning show. KTVN's news sources for national news were, or are, when I was there, CBS, CNN, and our morning news producer copied over stories from the Washington Post. Stories, they were more like progressive editorials. And they, especially CBS, were dishonest in their reports. I think for a month or 2 months, it was like these bombshell revelations of Russian collusion with the Trump election. Every single day. And in all that time I was there, CBS rarely gave the other side, the conservative side, on political stories. I had to come in early and add those myself. And at that point, it was a truly balanced, honest, fair news broadcast when I was there. I don't think it is now. The news staff did not care much for Republicans. Seniors, you know, they pushed all of us out, you know. And they really don't relate or care much for Nevadans. Most of them are not from here. And, you know, we're not like California, like many are from. And, you know, they're here to move up to the big city and don't have the attachment. So anyway, the media is showing its true colors, or they're being discovered. And now this lack of trust, I think, is moving on to local news, which is a really darn shame. Boy, how it used to be. How it used to be. What else I got here? Nevada legislature opens their 2025 session in a week and 2 days. And Democrat lawmakers there have already said that they're once again going to try to pass Assembly Bill 298, which basically puts a lot of restrictions, costly restrictions, on landlords. I wonder how that's going to affect your rent. When he vetoed this bill in 2023, Governor Lombardo called the legislation an unreasonable restraint on standard business activity. Well, now, Assembly Majority Floor Leader Sandra Joroquai, in announcing the new push for the bill this year, said because of the veto, quote, under Governor Joe Lombardo, we've seen an alarming rise in evictions in Nevada. About those evictions, I have a distant family member. He and his wife have two condos and a house that they rent out. The rent they get is secondary to them, the first priority. The only way their investment works out is by finding good tenants. There are plenty of bad ones. Damages, pets that aren't allowed, police calls, loud music, trash inside and outside, not paying the rent after a few months. They take a loss, sometimes a big loss on those. If they have a really good tenant who cares for the property and pays on time, they haven't raised their rent in years. So who does this protect, this bill? The only thing I can think of is bad tenants, because why would any landlord want to evict a good tenant? It doesn't make sense. 11:17. All right, let's do those tickets, Craig. 884-9910. We ask for. Shall we have a secret word on these texts or calls or what?
Sure. Let's do a secret word. Starting with caller number one, we will take the word for five pairs of tickets total. So two tickets each individual.
What's a secret word? Have a duck drop down and tell us.
I know, right? let's do where he's appearing. He's appearing at the Carson Nugget. And when you text in to 884-9910, 775-884-9910, please include your name and the secret word I just set out. So no calls, no phone calls on it, but we will take your text.
Okay, 775-884-9910. Just put in the word in the text, but also put in your name and your phone number so that Craig can notify the place where Jimmy J.J. Walker is performing at, the Carson Nugget, and let them know who our five winners are. This is five pair of tickets right now, folks, okay? Hey, Craig, thanks for doing the work behind the scenes on this. I'm going to take a break. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM Talk News Time is 11:19.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk Station, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Okay, so here's a sign I saw midtown in Reno. It says, don't even think about parking here. So I parked there without even thinking about it. So, you know, it's 11:23. I'm John Potter, live and local, 884-9910, the phone number to call if you want to say hi or bring up another topic. I was going to mention this. The Biden U.S. Department of Energy finalized a $996 million loan for Nevada's Rhyolite Ridge Lithium Project. And by the way, it was already, there was one loan already. So this is an increase of $296 million from preliminary funding. And he made it so that it cannot be reversed by President Trump. Funds will be used to build a lithium processing facility in rural Nevada that will supply Ford and other EV car makers by 2028. Where's this mine going to be? All right, this is not the one off in the little corner, the Lithium America one, the northwest corner of Nevada crossing into Oregon. This mine And by the way, every time they bring up these mines for lithium, they say it's the world biggest. Well, that's what they're saying about this one. This mine is going to dig near the town of Dyer, Nevada. It's south of us and west of Tonopah. First off, okay, add it up. This is $1.25 billion. I'll tell you what, the man certainly loved to spend. But I ask this sincerely and certainly out of ignorance. If this lithium mine is going to be such a gangbuster profitable mine, and with supposedly the largest lithium deposit in the world, why are government loans needed? Private investors, fund managers, equity groups would be all over this. You can't even invest in it. You're they're blocked out. It's all government. The investors didn't even have a chance. So why is the waitress's taxes, why is the plumber's, the local truck driver's taxes going into this? And better yet, why is the government having to take over what car companies should be putting their money in and taking the risk? My theory, you know, it's amazing all the ways the government tries to get bigger and bigger and tries to take more and more control. Or, I don't know, here's another theory. Are Biden and his buddies the only private investors in this? Who knows? All right, let's go. The phone's 884-9910. It's William. Hey, William, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
How you doing, young man?
I'm like, that's funny. Go ahead, sir.
Anyway, the reason why I called was I wanted to find out whatever happened with Channel 2 News, because the next thing I knew, I got back here after being gone for a while, and you weren't on Channel 2 News anymore, and now you're on the radio.
I'm trying to figure it out myself. I don't really know. I promise I make... Thanks for calling, William. It's amazing. It's been over 3 years, and people still ask me the same exact question. It drives my wife crazy because she's heard the story hundreds of times.
And she's not even listening to the radio.
I wish she would. Listen, I'll make this 1 minute, okay? I was there 20 years. We got a new manager. The manager was not the biggest fan, apparently big liberal, too. And actually, the whole newsroom, very liberal. So there was a bit of a clash, and also there was an age clash. You know what? The young people, they don't look for mentors anymore or anything. Their first job is in a TV newsroom. They already know, they're know-it-alls. They already know what to do. And they don't usually come from Nevada. So there were a lot of differences between me and the staff. But I'll tell you what, I still loved the job. And for 19 years, it was just the greatest experience. I adored it. And then the 20th year, like I said, new manager, suddenly I found myself being called into the manager's office. That never happened before. And things like, well, you said cancel culture. That's a Republican term. I said, no, it's not. It's a both sides issue thing. And they didn't like me putting the other side of the story in the national news scripts, you know, politics and everything like that. And listen, I had a wonderful time. I like to express my positive attitude every morning. I personally thought people needed it to start their day because mental illness is a big issue. And I thought this is my little part at making people positive and love their country, that kind of thing. But like I said, he was not a fan, and they have a thing there where every 2 years you have to sign a contract. And he asked me before my last contract was ending if I wanted to renew, and I said, golly gee, yes, I do. You know, I'd like this and this and this, but I don't want more money. And ever since then, I never saw that contract. And these contracts are like 20 years, and they have this rule where if you don't sign the contract, you don't work there. And I never saw the contract. I never saw it. I never got to read it. And he demanded to know if I was going to sign the contract. And I'm thinking, there's no contract. And before I knew it, they picked my last day. They told me this is your last day. And they, as you know, the rest of the people watching, they just cut me off the air mid-sentence and I was out the door. No severance. I was very depressed about this for 3 years. I've gotten out of that funk right now. I don't. And another thing, you know, they kind of blackballed me, and they went to the RGJ and told a story about that was not true at all. And I'm thinking, this is a news operation making up a story like that I refused to sign the contract, which I never saw. And it was quite a disappointing letdown to see that this is why the trust is not in media. And it's one-sided, and there's no other side to it. But, yes, I miss it to death. I really do. And I'm sorry the answer was over a minute. I said I would take a minute doing it. But, yeah, I'm kind of tired of talking about it, and what's done is done. And I just wish it was the same news operation that it was before, where it was people who were, a lot of people who were from Nevada and who loved Nevada. That I miss. All right, we're going to break for Fox News, 884-9910. I'm John Potter. Be back in a few minutes on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM Talk News Time, 1130.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio, KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
As Craig Swope mentioned, snow for Tahoe, first time in weeks this weekend. And Reno, we're probably going to get a couple of flurries. It's possible. Our temperature right now is 32 degrees. Did you know last winter, reminds me, last winter I found a golf ball the size of a hailstone. Let's go to the phones, 884-9910. Gary is calling from Fallon. Hey, Gary. Good morning. I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Good morning. Yeah, I was listening to Trump yesterday talking to the government officials in California, and he gave his speech again about how California's wasting water, sending out to the ocean and stuff, and there's more endangered species than that smell. But see, I grew up in the Delta in the 60s and 70s there. You know, there's lots of refineries and chemical plants along the river. That water flushes it out through the bay. The whole San Francisco Bay depends on that water. See, last year they had a bunch of growth there that fish die off when the plankton grows too much. There's not enough flow now, but he just needs better advisors, I tell you.
Are you talking about the Trump speech that apparently is all, that I was not able to see because he's in California? Are you talking about what he said this morning?
No, he was there in California talking to Newsom about 30 guys, all the officials there about the fires.
This morning?
Stuff.
No, yesterday. Last.
Yeah, it must be.
Oh, yesterday. Okay,
yesterday.
Because he's in California today.
No, he's in Vegas today.
Yeah.
No, but before Vegas, he's in California.
Well, he was there all day. He went to North Carolina yesterday, then flew directly to Vegas.
Oh, okay. It's my mess up. All right. I thought North Carolina was today too. All right. Yeah. Good point. You don't believe that California is wasting water then and letting it go into.
This is a misnomer here, guys. That it's not wasting water.
No, I'm
Northern
just
Nevada,
asking.
Northern him. Nevada or Northern California water cannot make it down to the bay to L.A. The
okay.
L.A. gets its water from the Colorado River,
right?
And that's where it gets its water. So Trump, like Gary just said, Trump needs some better advisors to tell because they were telling him they should have just been able to turn the valve and pumped it from the Northern California. No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, didn't California divert some water to tributaries up north to save the smelt? Isn't that true?
No, that's true. But that water has nothing to that saving the smelt in the north of the California has nothing to do with the water flow in Southern California.
I mean, true. Okay, but there has been incredible incompetence there before these wildfires. It's sad we have to point fingers at such a tragedy. But the huge reservoir that was empty, undergoing maintenance right before a huge wildfire season.
It was actually going undergoing maintenance a year before. And I don't know if you've ever seen, like, up on Keystone, we have a reservoir.
I don't know
if you've seen it up there. There's a cover on that.
Mm-hmm.
And
but we,
the cover on the one in Southern California that they're talking about was so damaged that the evaporation of that 100 million gallon reservoir was equivalent of 1 million gallons a month evaporation until they got a new cover. And they've been trying to do it in a cover, or they put that on hold because of expenses. But yeah, you're right. That was relatively empty.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
And it wouldn't have helped anyway.
Their wildfire danger is so much bigger than here. And here, you know, Craig, you had all the alarms ringing about red flag warning, and this is, and they all knew that December was the month with the biggest wildfires history. And the mayor goes to.
Well, in all honesty, the mayor was already over there when the fire happened. So she had to turn around and take flights to get back.
Well, yeah, but, right.
But in her defense, she was already over there with the delegation from the U.S. And it wasn't a personal trip. It was a state-sponsored trip.
Well, I'm glad you really read into this and illuminating this for us. I appreciate it. Gary, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. Gary. And now you got the phones ringing, Craig. I'll let you answer those two calls, okay? I got a note here. Thank all Nevada truck drivers. I wrote this like last week, and I just was filled with gratitude at that moment for Nevada truck drivers. And you know what? I got to say this. You know, across country, you see these trucks that'll be on the road, and there was something of a romance of the road almost, and they were sort of like the cowboys of the day. You know, as a kid, I pictured them the people of strength and capability, and they got things done. And so I've always admired truck drivers, and I thought as a kid that'd be so cool, and I wanted to be one. And I was in high school, and Mom asked me, what do you want to do after school? And I said I wanted to be a truck driver, and she cried. So because of that, I looked elsewhere, you know, for career and inspiration. And yes, I loved the wanderlust of being a truck driver, the love of the road when I was younger. But now, you know, we're pretty good on road trips, but now, like, it's hard for me to get into the spirit of long, long trips. And like, how does a truck driver stay awake, you know? How does a truck driver not die then? I mean, how do you not die of like just sitting there and staring? And I would go nuts because you're mile after mile after mile and all you see is interstate, right? You've driven through every place in the country, but maybe not actually to the country and been there to enjoy it and experience it. But anyway, I don't know if I'm making much sense, but if you happen to be a truck driver, I admire you. I appreciate you. I recognize the role that you play in our economy. And nothing we grow or make gets to market. And nothing we buy or consume gets to us without the truck driver. And God bless you for what you do. I may have talked about truck drivers last Saturday. I don't remember. But I didn't cross out this note to myself that said, thank all Nevada truck drivers. Good job, John. Let's go back to the phones. 884-9910. Hey, Rick from Reno. I'm glad you called. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, John. You know, I wanted to call several times in the past, but I this morning I tuned in at the tail end of what you were discussing about your situation at Channel 2, and it made me think, what happened to Angela? We've been watching her for a long time. We like her, and all of a sudden, gone. Poof.
Is she? I didn't know that.
Well, we don't ever see her doing the weather anymore. So they got that new guy there, and then they have different young guys once in a while.
Well, they have a lot of new guys. Lots of new guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, my gosh. The whole show in the morning is gone. Andy, we all miss Andy. We all miss Jeff Martinez. We all miss Colin Jackson. My gosh, we miss Mike Alger. I mean, it's just not the same. I'm, you know, I want to release my grudge and everything. And Angela was great, too. So if somebody knows, maybe they can call and give us the answer on that, Rick.
Yeah. My wife said she caught a glimpse of her. They were doing something else, and she caught a glimpse of her. But we never see her on the air during the weather anymore. And I just wondered, did they just say, that's it for you, just like they did with you?
All right. Well, if somebody knows, 884-9910. Rick, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right.
If those folks out there at that station, be truthful to the viewers. You know, let people know what's going on. Be truthful to the viewers who called about me. Don't say, oh, he wanted to move on to better things. What better things? Sorry, this is a better thing. I don't mean to insult the radio station. But otherwise, I have no better things. You know, if they make that up, you know, what else do they make up out there? Anyway, thanks, Rick. Gotta go.
All right.
Gotta
go. Bye-bye.
As I was saying, thank you, truck drivers. And by the way, speaking of truck drivers, Jeff Martinez, I don't know what happened there at Channel 2, but he's loving his truck driving. I'm on his Facebook. And he's living the dream I had when I was in high school. Let's go to Ryan calling in from Incline Village, calling up about California. Hey, Ryan, I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Hey, John. Happy weekend to you. I just wanted to make a comment. I caught the end of that last little piece about, and I guess your partner there wasn't trying to defend the mayor, but, you know, some stuff that's overlooked. And I moved to Incline from San Diego in 2015. Everyone that has ever lived in Orange, San Diego, or Los Angeles, or Riverside County knows about the Santa Anas, and you know that season is October, November, December. And, you know, a $19 million budget cut, I believe, was the number that the mayor cut from the fire department. You can drive up 89, do the drive over 431 and down through Sheep Flats, and look at how the forest is culled here, and then drive along the Truckee River on the 89 and look at the disaster that California is creating by not taking care of the forest. It's unbelievable. It is a problem that could be solved, but it's not. And being a transplant from San Diego and having given up on California 10 years ago, which apparently was just in time, you see it in San Diego as well. You know, you get all these canyons and ravines separating houses on the hills, and they never do anything to cut any of that kindling that sparks these massive wildfires. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, well, Ryan, describe to me what you see on the California side as you're driving Route 89. In what way does it look so bad?
Just look across the Truckee River. If you're headed from Tahoe City to Squaw or Palisades or Alpine, just look across the river and look at all the underbrush, everything. Whereas, you know, I drive over 431 on a daily basis between Reno and Incline, and all through the fall and even in the summer, you can see teams of either firefighters or people, you know, managing the forest, cutting down, putting the big burn piles. You know, we have the prescribed burns and all the different things. I mean, just look at the response of the first responders for the Davis fire and what they did to save so many homes in St. James Village and Galena and Montreux as compared to what you're seeing in California. I mean, it's a travesty. And it's, in my opinion, it's decades long of failed leadership in California.
Government incompetence just makes me so angry. They don't even talk about the toll on wildlife and all the animals that have been killed and such. And I can't imagine losing your pride and joy, the home, which is you as a person built, that's your life in there, and it's gone. And it's like that feeling. I remember that reporter asking that one homeowner, are you going to rebuild? And the person who's lost their home said, what do you mean rebuild? It's all gone. You can't bring that.
Well, let me take you a step further. Do you know how long it's going to take those people to get permits? They're going to have to deal with a coastal commission. I'm not an expert to answer this or not, but let's say you lived in the Palisades in the 70s and you're locked in on your property tax with Prop 13 at a significantly lower rate. Now you go completely rebuild, essentially a complete new structure. Are you reassessed at the value of the new structure? Because, I mean, people won't even be able to afford the property tax if that's the case. Now, I'm not an expert on it, so I would defer that to someone that's more familiar with California tax law. But I can imagine that, you know, people are going to be 3 to 5 years before they can get a property built. I dealt with the Coastal Commission in redoing a home in Cardiff by San Diego. It took us 2 years to get a permit to build on.
Yeah, I'm losing you, Ryan. In your voice, I can tell that you at one time loved California and you lived there because it was a paradise. And it makes you want to cry to see the state right now. Yeah, Craig, what?
Well, and I was going to say, and people are blaming FEMA for the response. You know, again, I'm not trying to defend an agency, but FEMA is out there to rebuild infrastructure. It's not your home. They're not there to rebuild your home. They can give you money for temporary housing, but they can't. They're not. It's not their job to rebuild your home. That's what your property insurance is for. And what? People aren't getting that. FEMA. They think that FEMA should be giving them money to rebuild, but no, it's in for infrastructure, bridges, power lines, water lines, everything else that was destroyed in the fire.
I get that, but from what I saw on unbiased news, which is hard to find, FEMA just dropped the ball in North Carolina, and these people said they don't even answer phone calls to the people who are still living on open ground after Hurricane Helene in North Carolina.
They had the two hurricanes, that one and the other one that went through there within weeks of each other.
Yeah. Well, okay. Gotcha. Good to know. I like hearing on all sides here. One more segment. All right. Yeah, they're thinking.
Yeah, he's finally going to be off.
I'm John Potter. Final segment. Last calls we'll take right now, 884-9910. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
And I'll announce your winners of the tickets to
we'll do that
to see J.J. Walker.
Yeah.
Jimmy J.J. Walker tonight.
Excellent. Last chance to call now, folks, 884-9910. I honestly, truly look forward to coming here every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. On 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 11:52.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Okay. John Potter, live and local. Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. Just looking at some of the texts. More people text than call, you know. You are too much. I don't know if that's a compliment or criticism. here's one that says, your words are very graveled. Please speak more distinctly. Okay. It's just the way I talk. Nobody's ever said I was gravelly. That's a first. And the really good news, we had 5 winners, each getting a pair of tickets to go to the show tonight. Jimmy J.J. Dynamite Walker at the Carson City Nugget. What you got, Craig?
Well, actually, I had 2 people that only needed 1 ticket. Hopefully, they're picking somebody up there at the meeting somebody at the Nugget. But I have Landis W., Ken K., Rebecca D., William W., and Doug S., as well as... let's see, Rose Kinsey, I actually added a couple in here, and Sonny N.
Congratulations. I noticed one of the texts said, well, I need an extra one because I already bought a ticket to the show.
Right.
Or Jimmy J.J. Walker. Did they win?
Yeah, they got their one of the singles, yeah. So they bought one and got one.
Awesome. And you got 3 calls today telling you what?
I got 3 calls today telling me that Angela is on the 5 a.m. shift.
Oh,
channel 2.
On channel 2. Oh, really? Okay. Gosh, I wish I were
so
there.
So is that like 5 a.m. to 9 a.m.? Is that what that shift is, basically?
It used to be 4:30 to 9. I don't watch them anymore. I can't.
So you don't
breaks
know.
Breaks my heart. But I would love to join Angela. If anybody's listening out there, and if you are, could I please have my Facebook page back, KTVN John Potter, which is still there, but they blocked me from it. And there's like 400 posts that I put a lot of work into and supporting our community and uplifting stuff and fun stuff. And but I can't get into it. I can't put anything on it. So hopefully, please, I'll give you some money. Is that what you want? Okay, we're down to the last minute here. Craig, thanks so much for the job, my friend. I look forward to this Saturday. I hope you do, too.
I do, John. I do very much.
You didn't say that loud enough.
I do, John. I really, okay. really do.
And I love working weekdays here. The Reno group here with the radio station is excellent teamwork here. And also, and you get to work in Carson City. I like it out there, too. Anyway, gotta go. Folks, have an outstanding weekend, okay? Look at the sky and remind yourself what a paradise we truly live in. I'm John Potter. Talk to you next Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.